Well, as we've been hearing from Brian in the bulletin there, British Prime Minister Theresa May is to write to EU Council President Donald Tusk today, seeking a three-month extension to Brexit to the Brexit deadline date. Yesterday, there was disagreement around the Cabinet table at number 10 about the length of the extension the Prime Minister should request. So a delay of up to 2 years appears to be off the table right now. So how will MPs react? How will EU leaders react as they prepare to attend an EU Council meeting in Brussels tomorrow? Joining me now are Mairead McGuinness, Vice President of the European Parliament, and Fine Gael MEP for Midlands Northwest. She's in our Brussels studio, and on the line from London, Philip Webster, former political editor of the Times newspaper. Good morning to you both. Mairead McGuinness, to you first. In Brussels this morning, what has the early reaction been to this move by Theresa May taking a long extension off the table, going for 3 months?
Well, I suppose given what she faced, as we're hearing from the Cabinet yesterday, that seems inevitable, this short extension. I think the questions being asked here are the ones that Michel Barnier posed yesterday and President Juncker. You know, what will the extension achieve in that short time period? Is there a guarantee that the British Prime Minister can get the withdrawal agreement through the House of Commons in order that we will not have a rolling cliff edge, which I think is one of the big concerns, certainly here in the Parliament, that if we get to the end of this short extension period and we're no further than we are today, what is the point of that? And it is a very critical time. I mean, the entire morning here, and it's still early, has been captivated by the scenarios. We need to see the letter. I think that's the first thing we have to say, and the detail contained therein. Perhaps it will give some reassurances that she can get the vote of the withdrawal agreement through the House of Commons, given that she's also dealing with a Speaker who has ruled out a third meaningful vote on the very same motion. And that's something that I presume the Prime Minister and her advisers are pondering. The leaders will need to see clarity, because it's also been suggested that they may not take a definitive decision this week, that that may be delayed to an emergency council meeting next week. And, you know, we're very close to Friday if we leave it to next week. I think one of the issues that concerns me when I look at the detail of the UK legislation, Brexit date is fixed in law, the 29th of March. It would take a statutory instrument to be approved by both houses. And as I understand it, but maybe I'm subject to correction here, it would need to have another date fixed, because there's also some speculation of, you know, perhaps a time period but not a specific date. And I'm just concerned, as I think many would be, that the necessary legalities will have to be tidied up before this 29th of March, which is staring us, you know, in the face at this stage. And I hope that the House of Commons can achieve and do all of those things. Now, given past experience, it has not been easy to see how the House of Commons can unite on anything.
Now, to turn to you, Philip Webster, I see one analyst writing that what's going on, or what was in evidence yesterday, was government by mutually assured destruction. Half the Cabinet will resign if Britain leaves without a deal. The other half is threatening to resign if Britain stays beyond June. And effectively, Mrs. May has bowed to that line.
That's right. I mean, there's dismay on the Remain side today, because there's a feeling that she has surrendered to the Eurosceptics in her cabinet, who were absolutely vocal in what was clearly a coordinated move yesterday to stop her going for a long extension. There is anger as well that she appears throughout this exercise to have been paying far more attention to the wishes, the threats of the leavers than to the remainers in the cabinet. And I think, yes, she may well have avoided resignations from the leave side of the cabinet yesterday by ruling out this long extension, but I wouldn't be at all surprised, as events unfold over the next couple of weeks, that she won't get resignations from the Remain side. There is absolute fury here. She went into that meeting yesterday wanting to have the threat of a long extension to try and bring people into line next week before Brexit Day. And that has now gone. There's every incentive now for the Eurosceptics, the European Research Group, to hold out, hoping that come the end of June, if that indeed is the date, there'll be a no-deal Brexit.
And Mairead McGuinness, is there a sense in Brussels that rather than string this out for another 3 months, they're basically saying, unless you give us a plan, you can go next week?
Well, I don't think we're adding that sentence, the end of the sentence, but we are saying let's have a plan that works. I think that everybody needs that now. I think the European Parliament, we're also going to have to ratify a withdrawal agreement, and there are elections looming. So we finish our work here at the end of April and then go into the election period. I wonder, and perhaps Philip would comment on this, is there also a reason for the short extension around the fact that if there was a longer extension, there would be elections to the European Parliament in the United Kingdom, and that might be something that the Prime Minister was wishing to avoid. Now, it's also she has the cabinet difficulties to deal with. So I think it's around timing and what is possible. And it would be of concern if there is this, again, rejection of a withdrawal agreement, that if it's put forward next week, what then? Because we are then into a no-deal Brexit. And I suppose my anxieties are heightened today, I have to say, being very honest about it. I just feel that this, from the very get-go, was a crash waiting to happen, even as far back as 2016 after the vote, because there was no plan. David Cameron did not have a plan. He had a referendum. And I think UK citizens, and I'm in contact with many of them, are aware that really nobody told them what was going to happen after they voted. And we are still none the wiser now, a few days to disaster day.
Yes, as John Downing puts it in The Independent this morning, we are no wiser than we were on the 24th of June 2016. Philip, what do you think Theresa May is going to put in this letter?
Well, I imagine she's written it, and so I could easily be wrong, but I'm assuming that she's going to suggest June the 30th. That's the last day, really, when the UK would not have to take part in European elections, because the European Parliament does not sit again till then. And yes, that's quite right, this whole business about participation in the European elections. One prominent Brexiteer said to me yesterday, look, if we take part in those elections, she's dead. And by that, he meant Theresa May. But the other point there is, of course, that if we were to take part in the elections, the last date at which we could say we were taking part in the elections is April the 14th. So there is another sort of deadline looming there. At the moment, I think, talking to MPs this morning, there is absolutely no idea what's going to happen. There's just this feeling that by accident, a no-deal Brexit could be nearer.
And I think that's really the worry we've all had for a long period of time, that Brexit could, this disaster, happen by accident, because the British Prime Minister triggered Article 50, she drew red lines, she negotiated, and then she couldn't get the deal across the table. But enshrined in UK legislation is exit date 29th of March. I know that tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock, the leaders will address the whole Brexit scenario, including discussions around a no deal. So I think we are, if you like, in a much deeper phase of realising that because of the impasse in the Cabinet of the UK, the House of Commons, and in British society, that the worst might prevail. And that is really bad news for UK, for Ireland, for the wider European community.
And Philip Webster, just on the point of the date that's set now in legislation as the 29th of March, as Mairead said, you'd have to get a statutory instrument through Parliament to change that. And there's also the fact that, okay, it wasn't a legally binding vote, but Parliament did vote to take a no-deal departure off the table about 2 weeks ago. So how does Mrs. May pull all of this together?
Well, she has to introduce this statutory instrument. The debate on the statutory instrument in the Commons takes 90 minutes, and it would go through the Lords quite quickly because the Lords is predominantly a Remain chamber. So they will get the statutory instrument, providing there's time. There's talk now of a dramatic last-minute vote in the Commons next Thursday. If her deal went down then, of course, she'd have to put the statutory instrument through in the next few hours, going into the early hours of Friday, possibly, in order to prevent a no-deal Brexit. Talk about brinkmanship. We have got right to the end of the road here, and as I say, it's very, very tense.
Yeah, Mairead, can I put to you a remark made by Michel Barnier, the chief negotiator, where he says an extension extends uncertainty, and that uncertainty has a cost. We can't do it without having a good reason. Now, is he applying that to a short extension as much as to a longer one?
Well,
Well, I think whether it's long or short, if we haven't a plan, I think that he is absolutely right in saying that all this does is intensify the uncertainty. And equally, there is this concern that a short extension, as I've just said, if it doesn't solve the problem, we have this rolling uncertainty and it gathers moss, and there's more anxieties both in business and in society. But I think that going back to this statutory instrument, there would have to be at EU level an agreement on the extension before the statutory instrument can go before the House of Commons. So again, sequencing is really important. So for example, if the leaders decide to defer a final decision until next week, we are really into the final minutes of this self-imposed deadline by the British Prime Minister of the 29th of March, and we're all hoping that it won't result in the worst possible outcome. So, you know, I remember in December talking about this and expecting it to be over, and now we're at this stage and it's just the same impasse, the same mess, the same crisis.
And Philip, if Mrs. May, by going or by taking away the idea of looking for a longer extension, has let the Brexiteers off the hook, so to speak, I mean, what's another 3 months to them? If she's lost them in any hope of getting the deal, the withdrawal agreement across the line, is it possible if, when it comes to next week, if there is that last chance to have another vote on the deal, is it possible that maybe people in the Labour Party might come to her rescue in numbers?
Well, I was just about to say that there is, she could be in a situation next week where the only people who can rescue her are the Labour Party. But I must say, talking to Labour Party members this morning and MPs, there is no willingness to do that. No Labour MP wants to be responsible for getting her out of this mess that they feel she's created. There's also a rather strong feeling around that I picked up just now that the Brexiteers are pushing her into this situation. They should just own it. They should own the mess that this is going to create. So there is the mood here has got quite angry today, and there is this feeling that she can't win. She's lost control of Parliament, as we know, and it's pretty obvious from yesterday she's lost control of her cabinet, and she is a prisoner of the many contenders for her job. It's hard to see, to believe it, but there are several people who actually want her job in this situation, and she acknowledged that in cabinet yesterday and said there was nothing wrong with them wanting her job, but this wasn't exactly the moment to go for it.
Where's the silver lining, Mairead McGuinness?
Well, I'm searching, I have to say, and I haven't found it yet. I will let you know. But I do really, you know, when you go back to where this is going to affect, which is people in Ireland, in the UK, right across the European Union, I think the failure of politics in the United Kingdom is something we should learn from, that you cannot have a house of democracy failing to actually agree on anything. And I think there's a very interesting comment from Anne Soubry, who's now in the Independent Group in the House of Commons. She asks, who is running Britain? And her answer is it's that the European Research Group, the ERG, and it's a party within a party. I mean, I would have thought if I were a UK citizen, I would be really concerned about that, that has now happening, and that basically they are forcing the Prime Minister to do certain things and threatening her if she doesn't. And then, because there are many who want to remain in the European Union, to some extent you have this unholy alliance working against the withdrawal agreement getting across the line, but in the end maybe coming to this disaster, which is a no-deal Brexit. Now, there still is time to deal with this, and I think Europe is a good negotiator, and I hope we come to the right solution.
Time will tell, and time will tell very soon, it would appear. My thanks to you both, Mairead McGuinness, MEP, Vice President of the European Parliament, and Philip Webster, former political editor with The Times. I should say that just after 11, we're going to be speaking to a man called Ivan Rogers, who's written a very brief book called Nine Lessons in Brexit. He is the former British civil servant who was Principal Private Secretary to Tony Blair in the early noughties, and then he was appointed Britain's permanent representative or ambassador to the European Union, where he was Britain's most senior negotiator prior to his resignation in January of 2017. He'll be with me in studio just after 11. We'll take a break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.